So most people, they spend their entire working lives just building someone else's dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they clock in, they clock out, collect the paycheck, and then,
The weekend is over.
right, they sit on the couch on Sunday evening and they just feel that heavy sinking dread right in the center of their chest.
Oh man, you know the exact feeling.
Everybody knows it. The realization hits that tomorrow morning you have to go back to a place that, well, it fundamentally drains you. Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast. I am your host, Bill Pitcot, and I am absolutely thrilled to be here today.
And I am Annabelle Pitcot, so excited to be co-hosting this with you today. And today's deep dive is really about dismantling that exact Sunday evening dread.
We are meticulously unpacking the ultimate roadmap to home business freedom today.
Yeah, we're going to explore the precise mechanics of, how to build an escape route.
Right. And we're using this incredible life-changing information straight from the bestseller ebooks available right now in our ebook store.
Highly recommend checking those out.
Oh, absolutely. Please visit www.pitcot.com/books to download them and just follow along with us.
And real quick, subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
Yes, please do. Okay, so to really understand this roadmap, we have to start by looking at the psychological roadblock that's holding you back right now.
Right, because if you ask someone why they haven't started that home business they've been, talking about for
It's
years,
always the same.
always, it's almost always, I don't have the startup capital
Yeah.
or I just don't have the hours in the day.
But the Pitcot materials reveal a completely different reality. It's fascinating.
It really is. The true culprit is actually fear.
Just raw fear.
Right. But it's incredibly clever because it completely disguises itself as practicality.
It puts on a suit and tie, basically. Yep.
Exactly, because the human brain is, evolutionarily hardwired to protect us from vulnerability and social rejection.
Like the amygdala doesn't distinguish between the physical threat of a predator and the psychological threat of launching a business that might fail publicly.
Yeah, so your brain rarely says, "Hey, I'm terrified my friends will judge me."
Right. Doesn't want to admit that.
No, instead it rationalizes. It says things like, "Well, the macroeconomic climate is too volatile right now."
Or I really need to finish one more certification program before I'm fully qualified.
Yeah, and it sounds so incredibly responsible. You tell your friends this and they just nod and say, "Oh, yeah, you're being so wise."
But it's literally just fear wearing a suit.
Exactly.
Let me push back on that though, just for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
How do you actually distinguish between fear masquerading as practicality and, an actually terrible macroeconomic climate?
That's a fair question.
Because with like inflation and high interest rates right now, isn't it sometimes genuinely practical to stay in a secure job and wait out the storm?
Well, the distinction lies in your subsequent actions.
Okay, what do you mean?
Like, true practicality involves a strategy to navigate the danger. If you say the economy is bad, so you are going to spend the next 6 months aggressively building a recession-proof freelance offer on the side.
That's practical.
Exactly. But if you use the economy as a justification to abandon the idea entirely.
To just sit on the couch and watch Netflix while complaining about your boss.
Right. That is fear-inducing complete paralysis.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Staying in a soul-crushing job out of that false sense of practicality is, Well, it's like choosing to stay seated in a sinking boat simply because you've never taken swimming lessons.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
Right. Like the water looks dark, it looks freezing, and yes, learning to swim in the open ocean is deeply
So it's
uncomfortable.
terrifying, really.
But staying seated in the boat literally guarantees you are going to the bottom. Both are choices.
Right, not making a decision is still an active decision to stay in that sinking boat.
Exactly. And only one choice gives you a mathematical chance at freedom.
And, the formula for making that leap into the water isn't about suddenly becoming this fearless, charismatic risk taker.
You don't magically eliminate the fear of the water.
No, you don't. The mechanism for success is simply the willingness to get uncomfortable.
To just take one small step.
Yeah, one small, deeply unglamorous step. feeling that spike of anxiety and taking another step anyway.
You move forward while the fear is still present.
Exactly. But because that fear is going to constantly try to pull you back into the perceived safety of the sinking boat.
You need a heavy structural anchor to keep you moving forward.
Right. You have to lock in your why long before you figure out your what.
That underlying purpose is the only thing that provides real psychological endurance.
Because new entrepreneurs, they always obsess over the aesthetic details immediately.
Oh, always. They spend 3 weeks designing a logo.
Or debating between two shades of blue for a website.
Or agonizing over their official job title. Like, why do we always rush to the aesthetic stuff?
Well, it's simple. It triggers a dopamine hit without requiring any actual vulnerability.
Ah, right. It feels like work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Picking a hex code for a website feels like you are building a business, but it requires zero interaction with the market.
It's a completely safe sandbox.
Yeah, but a beautiful logo has absolutely no structural integrity when you hit a month with zero sales.
Or when a major client demands a massive refund.
Right. The Pitcot source demands that you get painfully honest about the raw driver behind this business.
Yeah, and the source breaks these drivers down into three very distinct categories. You really have to figure out which one is actually running your engine.
Yeah. Is it time freedom?
And this isn't just a vague desire to, you know, not work.
No, it's the visceral need to be able to pick your kids up from school at 3 p.m. and actually watch them play.
Rather than nervously glancing at work emails under your jacket.
Right. Or is it financial independence?
Which doesn't necessarily mean you want to buy a private jet.
No, it just means the profound mental relief of never having to calculate the running total in your head while walking down the grocery store aisle.
Oh, that's so real. Or, you know, it could be the third driver. Creative expression.
Right. The deep spiritual exhaustion of conforming to corporate guidelines that stifle your actual talents.
And just the intense desire to put work out into the world that genuinely reflects your own mind.
Yeah. Whatever that specific driver is, the mechanics of this process require you to physically write it down.
Not typed in a hidden digital note on your phone?
No. Written on physical paper and placed where your eyes will literally hit it every single morning.
Because relying on pure motivation to build a home business, I mean, it's like trying to run a marathon on a sugar rush.
Yeah, that's not going to end well.
Right. You drink an energy drink at the starting line, and for the first mile, you feel absolutely invincible.
But the biological crash is inevitable.
You cannot run 26 miles without the complex carbohydrates of true purpose. Motivation is like a weather system. It changes depending on how well you slept or what someone said to you that morning.
But purpose is bedrock.
Exactly. It's bedrock.
So before we look at how to channel that bedrock purpose into the daily actions that actually move the needle, we want to pause for just a moment.
Go visit www.pitcot.com. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Okay, so once that purpose is physically anchored on your desk, you really have to adopt the mindset of a craftsman to execute it.
This is so crucial. This is the invisible compounding that separates the people who build successful operations from those who just, you know, talk about launching for a decade.
Because the physics of building a home business mirror the physics of building physical muscle in a gym.
Exactly. You do not increase your baseline strength by going to the gym one time and lifting weights in a manic frenzy for 6 straight hours.
Right. You get strong by going for 45 minutes day after day, regardless of your emotional state.
You go when your muscles are sore.
And most importantly, you go when the progress is completely invisible. You don't look in the mirror after 4 workouts and see a completely transformed physique.
No, the macroscopic view looks like absolutely nothing is happening.
But microscopically, those muscle fibers are tearing and rebuilding.
And business operates on that exact same delayed feedback loop. Sending 5 outreach emails today won't result in an immediate deposit in your bank account tomorrow.
It feels like shouting into a void, honestly.
It does. But you are building microscopic brand awareness, and you are building the internal muscle of resilience.
The mathematical compounding of showing up daily is staggering,
mm-hmm.
but it completely disintegrates if you break the chain of action.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look critically at modern hustle culture for a second, because it's incredibly easy to sit at a laptop for 12 hours, sweat over a keyboard, and convince yourself you are putting in the reps.
Oh, completely.
Like, you can spend an entire afternoon meticulously organizing a Notion workspace or watching YouTube tutorials on productivity.
Right.
But isn't that just a highly sophisticated, exhausting way of hiding from actual customers?
Yes, it is the exact trap highlighted in the Pitcot materials. It's categorized as busy work, and it is the absolute illusion of momentum.
Because scrolling through an industry competitor's social media feed for 2 hours under the guise of market research,
it's a lie you tell yourself. You are simply consuming content. True craftsman behavior ruthlessly eliminates busy work.
It focuses exclusively on actions that generate actual friction with the real world.
Exactly. Like directly asking a prospect for a meeting or publishing a piece of content that solves a tangible problem.
So you have to know exactly where to direct that craftsman-like effort, which brings us to the core functional architecture of the business.
Right, because you can't just run incredibly fast if you are facing the wrong direction.
The methodology here cuts through all the digital noise and states that every single home business only requires three foundational pillars.
Yep, everything else, the complex automated webinars, the high-ticket masterminds.
All secondary refinement.
So true. And the human brain actively filters out overwhelming information, which is why pillar number one is so critical. You must have a hyper-specific offer.
You need to articulate the exact problem you solve for a highly defined group of people.
Because if your offer is just, I help people improve their marketing, you are completely invisible.
The reticular activating system in the human brain ignores generalities.
Right.
Nobody identifies as just people, and marketing is an impossibly broad category.
Right.
A vague offer is like erecting a massive glowing neon sign on the side of a busy highway that just says the word food.
Good luck getting anyone to stop for that.
Right. Drivers are flying by at 70 miles an hour. Nobody is going to hit the brakes and pull over because nobody knows what the risk is.
Are they walking into a gas station hot dog stand or a five-star sushi restaurant?
Exactly. If you don't tell them exactly what problem you're solving, they just keep driving. But if you refine that offer to, I help local coffee shops reduce their employee turnover.
Oh, every coffee shop owner dealing with the nightmare of hiring new baristas every 3 weeks will slam on the brakes.
That precision acts as a psychological magnet.
It does. And once you have their attention, you need pillar two. A frictionless way to get found.
Right. And the standard advice here is usually to spend $10,000 on a massive web build.
Which is totally unnecessary. The actual requirement is just a clean, mobile-optimized digital base that answers three questions instantly.
What exactly do you offer?
Who specifically is it for?
And how do they contact you?
Right. If a potential client has to scroll through four pages of your personal backstory just to figure out what you sell, the friction causes them to bounce.
Which flows perfectly into pillar three, a way to get paid.
Sounds almost insulting to point this out, but yeah.
It is shocking how many new business owners construct massive obstacle courses for people trying to literally hand them money.
Oh, it is a profound bottleneck. The underlying mechanism here is the psychology of the purchase decision.
When someone decides to buy your service, their brain releases a subtle hit of dopamine, right?
Right. But if they click buy and are forced to create a user account, verify their email, and fill out a 10-field form,
you introduce friction. And friction spikes cortisol.
Exactly. The frustration overrides the desire to purchase, and they abandon the cart.
You must utilize a seamless system, just a simple Stripe checkout link or an integrated calendar booking tool.
The path from I want this to payment accepted must be a completely straight, unobstructed line.
So now that the foundation is set, you have the mindset, the specific offer, the clean digital base, and a frictionless checkout, you have to actually get eyeballs on the business.
And this is the phase of digital marketing where solo founders usually experience complete mental collapse.
And it is entirely understandable. The digital landscape is literally designed to induce panic.
Yeah, you log online, and the dominant narrative dictates that you must master search engine optimization while simultaneously maintaining a daily email newsletter.
While posting on Instagram Reels.
And running a Facebook ad campaign.
And dancing on TikTok.
And launching a YouTube channel.
It's absurd. Every digital marketing guru screams that if you aren't omnipresent, your competitors will just eclipse you.
Yeah, they say you have to be everywhere all at once to capture market share.
But how is a solo founder supposed to ignore that pressure?
You ignore it by understanding the basic physics of resource allocation.
Right.
The gurus preaching omnipresence have full-time content teams of 20 people.
And you have roughly 2 hours after your kids go to sleep.
Exactly. Yeah. If you spread 10 hours of weekly marketing effort across five different platforms, you are allocating 2 hours per channel.
You are now competing against practitioners who dedicate 40 hours a week to mastering one single platform.
And you will just produce mediocre, inconsistent noise everywhere, and you will gain traction nowhere.
The Pidcot roadmap demands radical simplicity. You pick one channel.
Just one.
You find out exactly where your hyper-specific audience naturally congregates, and you go intensely deep on that single platform.
If your clients are corporate logistics managers, you don't need a TikTok strategy.
No, you need to master LinkedIn. You learn the nuances of that one algorithm.
You engage with the community there until you are generating predictable, consistent results.
You do not even consider a second platform until the first is a stabilized asset.
And regarding specific strategies, the source highlights the enduring power of SEO for solo operators.
But this isn't about highly technical back-end coding, right?
No, not at all. It's about understanding search intent. You aren't just writing generic blog posts.
You are identifying the exact long-tail questions your ideal clients are desperately typing into a search bar at 2 in the morning.
And you are publishing the most thorough, helpful answer to that specific question.
Over time, search engines recognize you as a genuine authority, which supplies free, high-intent organic traffic.
You are essentially matching the supply of your expertise with the raw demand of their query.
Now, the other foundational tool you absolutely must build from day one is your email list.
Crucial. So crucial.
It is so important to understand the psychological difference between a social media follower and an email subscriber.
Yeah, social platforms are loud, chaotic environments. Users are in a passive, entertainment-seeking state.
And more importantly, those algorithms are notoriously volatile.
Oh, a platform can alter its code on a Tuesday, and by Wednesday, your posts only reach 1% of the audience you spent a year building.
Exactly. You do not own a social media audience. You are essentially a digital sharecropper renting space on a billionaire's platform.
But an email list, however, is an owned asset. It is completely algorithm-proof.
The inbox is an intimate text-based environment where the user is in an intentional reading state.
Yeah, even just a simple monthly newsletter ensures your business remains top of mind for individuals who have already explicitly given you permission to contact them.
But, you know, even with a hyper-specific offer, a clean checkout, and a focused marketing channel, the reality of entrepreneurship is going to hit.
It always does.
Navigating the inevitable hard days is the separator between the amateurs who fold and the professionals who endure.
The roadmap refuses to romanticize this process. It acknowledges that there will be weeks that feel identical to physically pushing a heavy car up a steep hill with the parking brakes securely engaged.
You will launch a new service offering and the market response will be complete silence.
A cornerstone client will unexpectedly cancel their contract.
The payment gateway on your website will break and you will spend 4 hours staring at a screen of error codes while your internal monologue screams that you are a fraud and should just go back to your old job.
Man, the vital first step in these moments is normalization.
Experiencing complete operational failure and crushing self-doubt is not a sign from the universe that you are meant to quit.
No, it is simply the baseline reality of running a business. The people who succeed are not immune to these catastrophic days.
They have just implemented systems that override their emotional desire to quit.
Exactly. The first survival strategy is establishing a minimum daily action.
This is a microscopic, non-negotiable commitment that you execute regardless of how defeated you feel.
It might be sending one single outreach message or spending 10 minutes editing a draft.
It is the exact same psychological mechanism as brushing your teeth.
Right.
Brushing your teeth requires almost zero emotional hype. You don't need to listen to a motivational speaker to get fired up to do it.
No, you do it when you are exhausted, when you are sad, when you are distracted.
It is completely decoupled from your emotional state. But that tiny, consistent friction completely prevents your teeth from decaying.
And a minimum daily action prevents the momentum of your business from decaying on the days you're ready to walk away.
The second strategy is to literally look physically at the paper where you wrote your why to re-anchor your perspective.
And the third is breaking isolation. Entrepreneurship in a vacuum is dangerous because your mind becomes an echo chamber, amplifying your anxieties.
Connecting with a mentor or a community of peers normalizes the struggle. You quickly realize everyone else is also pushing a car up a hill.
And the final piece is learning to genuinely celebrate the small wins.
Because the human brain suffers from a severe negativity bias.
Oh, big time. If three clients rave about your work and one asks for a refund, your brain will obsess over the refund for a week.
You have to actively counter this by acknowledging progress. When a piece of content gets a thoughtful comment, or when you land your first paying customer, you must pause and register it.
That acknowledgement triggers the dopamine required to stay in the game long enough for those microscopic daily actions to compound into macroscopic success.
It really is the consistent application of these unglamorous mechanics that actually builds a sustainable escape route.
Yeah, it is.
So we want to leave you with one final, deeply provocative thought. Look closely at your current daily routine and the job you have right now. If you were to implement just one minimum daily action, just 10 minutes of intensely focused, craftsman-like effort toward building your own specific offer starting tomorrow morning,
yeah,
how entirely, wonderfully unrecognizable could your life be exactly 1 year from today?
Man, the mathematics of that compounding effort are just waiting to be applied.
They really are. Thank you for listening to the PitCop podcast. I'll leave a link in the description below.
Subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. Thank you for being there with us, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.